Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is so good to be connected with you again. You know, the Lord has done tremendous things just allowing us to have this virtual connection. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were just celebrating the Lord that He has continued to bless this, and we're able to reach out to so many different people, not just our church, but it's expanding to other areas. And I just want to thank you so much for your prayers. Today, when we get in the message, we're getting back into fulfilling our calling. And you see this guy over here, he's kind of looking. He's like, in essence, Lord, I want you to do some wonderful things through me. And I want that to be our prayer, because we're going to talk about that. I want to thank you again for just praying for the Ebenezer family. God has really done exceedingly abundantly above what we can dare ask or think. Thank you for supporting our Monday manna on our virtual connection, our Tuesday noonday Bible study, where we're going through the book of Genesis, learning about history so that we can apply it to our New Testament readings and ultimately apply it to our lives. And then on Wednesday on our virtual connection at 7 o'clock, we're going through the entirety of the book of Luke, and we're just making beautiful progress as the Holy Spirit is leading us. For those who are really looking and desiring an in-person Bible study, we have Thursday in-person Bible study right in our sanctuary from 6 to 7. We're actually going through the book of 1 Corinthians. Remember that, our memory scripture that we've been going through and fulfilling our calling. And we actually have been studying that major part, that we are the temple of God, and God wants to do so many powerful things in our lives. And then on our Sundays, we've got our 8:45 in-person service, we've got our 10 o'clock online, and our 10:45 in-person, where we need you to continue to pray. I believe in God dispatching ministering angels and encamped all about us and covering us, and we have seen Him continually save souls, add to the body of Christ, and that lets us know that He is preparing our hearts for some really, really amazing things as the days to come. I want you to also be in prayer as God is being able to bless Ebenezer, our family, to reach out and to give in different directions. We've got missionary outreaches in so many areas. We've got Feed the Hungry in City Central Park. We also send overseas to places like Jamaica and Haiti. Also, we've got some local mission funds that are going out to assist some of our local churches and their outreach program, that in essence more people can be added to the body of Christ. And it's all because of you. So I thank you for your giving, whether you're giving an in-person service or sending in our secure box or using our app. And I want to thank you for using the app. Lord blessed us a few years ago to have our own church app, and it has been great. There's been some times I've been doing something else, a notification will come up and go, oh, there's something coming on, or a notification will come up on an announcement that has arrived within the inbox. So please get that app if you don't already have it. Well, I'm ready. I am ready. Can you put in the chat, say ready, 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 ready? I know that's a quote from T.D. Jakes, but I am ready to get into the Word of God today. And I just want you to have an attitude of prayer. And so let's lean in and ask God to speak to us that we can grow and become more like Him. We'll see you soon.
Today we're going to have our scripture lesson from Psalm 149 in its entirety. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and praise His name in the assembly of saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise His name with the dance. Let them sing praises to Him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all His saints. Praise the Lord.
Amen. I was just a child when I felt the Savior leading. I was drawn to what I could not understand. And for the cause of Christ, I have spent my days believing that what he'd have me be is who I am. As I've come to see the weaker side of me, I realize his grace is what I'll need. As sin demanded justice for my soul, mercy said no. I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no. Sin will never take control. Life and death stood face to face. Darkness tried to steal my heart away. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy said no. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son to save us. From the cross he built a bridge to set us free. Oh, but deep within our hearts there is still a war that rages. And it makes his sacrifice so hard to see. As midnight fell on crucifixion day, oh, the light of hope seemed oh so far away. As evil tried to stop redemption's flow, mercy said no. I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no. Sin will never take control. Life and death stood face to face. Darkness tried to steal my heart away. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy said no. And now as heaven looks at me, it's through the blood of Jesus, reminding me of one day long ago. Mercy said no. I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no. Sin will never take control. Life and death stood face to face. Darkness tried to steal my heart away. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy said no. Oh, mercy. Mercy said no.
Can you just lift up those hands? Yeah, just lift up those hands and just give God some praise for how good he's been in your life, what he's done in your life. He is such a good, good, good God. Before we go any further, we just want to go in a word of prayer. There's been so much going on in our world, as said earlier, but you know what? God is faithful. So let's pray. Father, thank you for even in times such as these as we live in, where there's so much turmoil and so much going on with our weather patterns. We thank you that you're God and God alone, and that you're still using us, Lord. Thank you for this series that You've led us in fulfilling our calling, Lord, that we can truly walk in your will and your way. Now, Lord, we just welcome you. I pray for those who may be viewing and listening in that don't know you, that today be their day, that they'll confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Oh, that they receive that gift. Now, Holy Spirit, you're our teacher, our guide. Would you lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? Thank you again for this day, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you just put in the chat, amen, amen. As we get back into fulfilling our calling, it is my belief and my prayer that we have all been growing. I've been conscious of just how God is just moving in spectacular ways in my life and your life as we go through the days. As we go back to our memory scripture, we're in 1 Corinthians 6:19, and we are actually studying this in our in-person Bible study on Thursday at 6 o'clock. And really, it just really blossomed as we went through this scripture on this past Thursday. And we got in a lot of a discussion on the temple and also that how we can destroy our temples and how it can not be used to glorify God. But we want our temples to glorify the Lord. So if you don't mind, I want you to focus in. I want you to read it aloud with me, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? We are not our own. That's good news to know that God is in control. Let's go into our focus scripture for today. We're actually going into 1 Samuel chapter 14, 1 Samuel chapter 14. And I want us to focus in on this sixth verse. This section that we're going in is an interesting section. I really never taught on it as far as in a preaching platform. I've taught through the book of Samuel, but this is an amazing portion of scripture to see how God uses the lives of those that are submitted to him. So that 1 Samuel 14 and 6. Then Jonathan said to the young men who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of the circumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few." Listen to that again. Then Jonathan said to the young men who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few." Isn't that good? Good to know. As we get into this scripture today, I want to speak from a title, "Use Me, Lord." Yes, use me, Lord. Ron Canole just blessed me when he sang this song with these lyrics. He said, "If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord. Speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me." That's going to be our baseline today as we look at this central character of Jonathan and also King Saul. King Saul has really taken a downward path. He's the first king of Israel, and God had chosen him, but pride steeped in and seeped in, and he went on this path against God and not for God. Consequently, his son really had the heart of a leader, was submissive to the will of God. But at the same time, as Saul is going down, Jonathan is arising in popularity among the troops. Time frame is about 1000 BC. Warren Wiersbe actually writes of this scenario that we're going to talk about. It says, "Saul trusted in his growing army, but Jonathan trusted God and did not depend on numbers. Saul watched things happen, but Jonathan made things happen." And this is where we enter into this section of scripture as we talk about "Use Me, Lord." 1 Samuel 14:1, it reads, "Now it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side." But he did not tell his father. Look at that second verse. And Saul was sitting in the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men. This is critical. Saul the king, as the enemy is on the other side, he has 600 men. And Saul the king, he's just kind of taking a rest break, you know, sitting on the pomegranate tree. Then that 1 Samuel 14:3, Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, was wearing an ephod, but the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. And this is critical also. The priest is brought up in this section simply because he had that ephod, and this was to allow him to hear the voice of the Lord, to prophesy in which way the children of Israel should go, where the enemy would be at, and also when the victory would be given to them. And so the priest was supposed to know where the people were, where Jonathan was. Also with this, just a little historical background, when Saul totally loses his mind, he will actually have his henchmen kill this priest all over David, the next king, and some things that took place. So realize there's a fragile relationship that's gone on. And I want to focus on the first point as we look at Jonathan and what's happening with him, the desires of the heart. Desires of the heart. This is critical because God knows our hearts, and he knows when we are submitted to him and submissive to him. And this is Jonathan. Jonathan wanted to be used by the Lord, and that's where this fulfilling of our calling becomes so powerful, when we really come to the point of going, okay, God, we all have a calling, and no matter what age I am, Lord, I want to be used by you. And so now we pray, God, direct my steps. 1 Corinthians 12:31 talks about this desires of the heart. It can be good. It said, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. So we are encouraged to desire those best gifts. That excellent way is through love. And so when we fall in love with the Lord and we follow those paths, really God desires to use us more and more for his glory. Jonathan's dad at this point, as we said earlier, sitting under that pomegranate tree, just kind of taking in, doing what he wanted, and he's having a hard time hearing from the Lord. And so as his hearing is going down, Jonathan is really, his son, becoming sensitive to the will of God. Matthew 19:26 talks about what happens when we submit to God. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." In the chat, can you type possible? This is critical because, man, when you really start to hear from the Lord and you're going, "Lord, I want your calling to be fulfilled in me. Use me, Lord." Really, we start to see so many things become possible in our lives. Some things are miraculously going to be added to your life, but other things you're just going to have to work for. You're going to have to practice. The Mozarts of the world, they put some time in. Those with gifts, runners, they put some time in. It's the same thing with the Lord. We put time in and seeking his face, and God will use us in wonderful ways. Look at this next verse, 1 Samuel 14:4. Between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistine garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of one was Bozez. Don't you like that? And the name of the other was Sina. 1 Samuel 14:5, the front of one face northward opposite of Michmash, and the other southward opposite of Gibeah. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few." Here's the point. Step out on faith. Yes, step out on faith. Now, this is a critical part of our walk with the Lord, faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:6 even really brings it home. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe. Can you put in the chat, believe, wherever you're sitting or standing, say, believe. This is critical. Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. This is a point here that we're going to see in Jonathan's life as we're talking about use me, Lord. We got to want the Lord. We've got to want to be used on a daily basis. We can't just say, Lord, use me on Sunday, but we've got to desire God to use us Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all during the week, all of our lives. This is Jonathan. Notice as we look closely at that 1 Samuel 14:6 again, then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, he has a guy that's with him that helps and assists in bearing that armor. He said, come, let us go over to the garrisons of these uncircumcised. Now, Saul, his dad, should have been making these calls. Saul, his dad, should have been taking the 600 men and going into battle. But no, instead, they're on a respite. They are not fighting. But Jonathan is sensitive to the voice of the Lord. He's like, it's time to move. It's time to move. And he says, let's go to these uncircumcised. That was a derogatory term in the Old Testament that was saying of the heathen, those who don't know God, those who have even blasphemed God, we want to confront them. But I love this second part here because it really brings out his faith, his trust in the Lord. He said, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving, here it is, by many or by few. That's faith. That's when we can step out on our faith and we can understand that we serve a big God. Are there any people out there that say, yeah, I serve a big God? Some of you know what he's done in your life, whether it's through surgery or whether it's through taking you through an accident or whether it is just living from day to day, that you can feed your own self, that you have the ability to lift up your hands and say, thank you, God, for being a God who is more than enough. It's easy to say, God, send crowds with me, send people to back me up. But what when God says, you know what, you don't need a whole bunch of folks. I'm just going to send you, or I'm going to send you a sidekick with you, and you're just going to have to trust me. This is critical, even as we think about what's happening these days and time. As COVID came in and churches shut down and we were having to use the internet, there were many preachers that gave up simply because they didn't have the crowds. All it was a camera and them trying to preach, and all of a sudden that vigor, that excitement that they had, it left. It just wasn't there. They couldn't feel it anymore because they needed that interaction. Consequently, they changed the way they preached, and they became a talk show host where they would invite people in and they would feed off of that other person. But I'm telling you, if God has done something for you, if the Lord dwells on the inside, you don't need a whole bunch of crowds. You don't need a whole bunch of people around you. You can just say, when I think about the goodness of Jesus, there ought to be some folks getting ready to shout right now. Think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me. My soul shouts out hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. That's when we come to the point of saying, God, I know if you use me, everything is going to work out just fine. Romans 8:31 brings this out. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, can you put in the chat for us? If God is for us, who can be against us? When you got a big God on your side, when you know he'll never leave you nor forsake you, when you are submitting yourself and asking God to bring out your calling, there's something that miraculously happens within your life. Look at the story as it continues on. 1 Samuel 14:7. So his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you according to your heart. Keep that in mind. Then Jonathan said, very well, let us cross over to these men and we will show ourselves to them. Here's the point. Walking in your calling. Yes, walking in your calling. So the faith interaction takes place. We've got desires of our heart. We want to be used of the Lord. Now we step out on faith, right? We walk. We put some action. It's just not in something that we're verbally saying. We're walking in it. Some of you've got some challenges in your life now that you're trusting the Lord. You've got some bad diagnoses that are going on. You got some relationship issues. I encourage you, as God is fulfilling His calling in you, step out on faith. Start walking. When we walk in the calling that God puts in our lives, please listen to this, we inspire others. Yes, they're people that are rooting for you, and they're rooting for you because when they see God show up and show out in your life, they know if God did it for you, He can do it for me also. He can do it for them also. Isn't that a good news? That we are living examples to those that are around us. John Adams actually gave a quote, very powerful. He said, "If your action inspire others to dream more, to learn more, do more, and become more, you are a leader." Can you put in the chat more? Somebody scream more. I want to read that because I'm telling you, this is powerful. And I want you to look at your life, because I believe all of us have a calling. As said before, we're leaders in some respect. If your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, you are a leader. That's our lives as Christians, that as we live in the power of God, as we have that prayer, use me, Lord, for your service. Use me more on my job. Use me more when I'm driving my car. Use me wherever you want to use me. That whole process really takes us to a point of leadership. Notice again that 1 Samuel 14:7. So his armor bearer said to him, because he saw Jonathan, he saw the passion that was in his heart, "Do all that is in your heart. Go then." And get this. This is amazing to me. He says, "Here I am with you according to your heart." Now, the armor bearer is not saying, "You know what? I've got this vision. I've got this dream." He's like, "You know what? I ain't heard anything. But because you've heard something, and because you're passionate, and because you want to be used of the Lord, I realize if I am going to be in God's will, I'm going to step up with you. I realize that God has His hand upon you. And because God has His hand upon you, I'm coming alongside. And I believe that we both are going to prosper." I'm telling you, that's what fulfilling your calling is all about. When people get excited, they don't necessarily understand everything, but they see something in you. I've been around some people, and I'm telling you, I could feel and sense the passion that was in their life, their submission to the Lord. And I'm like, "You know what? I'll carry whatever you need me to carry, but I know that you're hearing the voice of the Lord." What has God placed in your heart to glorify Him? Now, I want to say that again. What has God placed in your heart to glorify Him? What desires, what things keep burning on the inside? Jeremiah, he was challenged one time. He says, "God, I am not going to speak anymore." He was going through a lot of tribulation. People were talking about him. They were coming up against his prophecy. And he said, "I'm just going to be quiet. I'm just going to sit in my house, not say anything." But he said, you know, after a while, he said, it was like fire all shut up in my bones. That's that whole process of yielding to God, asking God to use you. He'll bring up that calling in you, and it'll begin to burn. You'll know that I need to do more for the Lord. We often ask children this: "What do you want to be when you grow up?" You know, and they come up, they usually, you know, doctors or lawyers, all of these things. But I think we need to come to the point of asking Christians, "What do you want to be when you grow up? What is God calling you to be within your life?" We expect that people should focus in on, you know, their degrees or going to college or what occupation they're going to be. But for Christians, we've got to realize we've got a calling on our lives. As said earlier, God wants to fulfill that. What do you want to be when you grow up? Jonathan walks in faith and commits, here it is, the victory to the Lord. Can you put in the chat victory? Can you just say, wherever you're sitting, standing, say victory? Proverbs 16:3, out of the English Standard Version, it puts it like this. It says, "Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established." commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. This is what Jonathan is doing. He's like, you know what? I've just got an inkling. I got a feeling. This is what I should be doing. This is what I should be stepping into. I'm going to commit my plans to him. And Lord, I thank you that you're already working it out and establishing. Let me show you 1 Samuel 14:9. If they say to us, wait until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them. That's critical. What he's saying here, he's like, okay, we're going to kind of put out this thought pattern. If they speak to us, I'm going to explain this a little more. 1 Samuel 14:10, look at that. But if they say thus, come up to us, then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us. Just summing this up, here's the point. The fleece. Yes, the fleece. These two scriptures really encompass a fleece. I want to define that because there were others in the scripture like Gideon that used this fleece term. What it means is a fleece is the process of seeking to know God's will by asking him to provide a tangible, observable sign answering a believer's question. All right, a big definition. Listen to that again. A fleece is the process of seeking to know God's will by asking him to provide a tangible, observable sign answering a believer's question. The Old Testament saints, they used this from time to time, and we see that within Scripture. But I believe as New Testament saints, that because God has given us his Holy Spirit, that we don't have to use fleeces. We've got God's presence on the inside, and he confirms, he guides us, he leads us, as I pray so often, into all truth. Remember what Jesus spoke to Thomas about this process of trusting him in John 20:29. Jesus said to Thomas, because you have seen me and have believed, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. This is where we walk in the New Testament, where we're trusting the Lord and don't necessarily need fleeces. But notice Jonathan steps out with the level of faith that he has for that season and time. Again, that 1 Samuel 14:10. But if they say thus, come up to us, then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us. And so this is the fleece that he's put up before God. He's like, I need you to do something. Now, this is the point. I don't want to stay here too long, but I want to show you something. God is going to actually use the words of the enemy to confirm, in essence, a prayer of Jonathan. Now this is critical, because I see it in our lives, and I say that because this is a very, very powerful as we apply it to our lives. As we think about Jonathan, he's asking God, in essence, to move on the enemy, to say, come up to us, to show forth that God is in charge and God has pretty much waved the victory flag over this situation. Theologian Henson, he sums up this encounter. Jonathan depended by faith upon this sign to know the will of God. God honored it because Saul was not using the other available means for learning the will of God. And the ephod had disobeyed God's prophet Samuel. Again, notice that again. Saul was not using the other available means for learning the will of God. The ephod and had disobeyed God's prophet Samuel. So Jonathan's dad, that King Saul, he is in disobedience. So he really can't walk in the will of God. He really can't say, use me, Lord, simply because he's decided to use his own self, his own wits, his own logistics. But now Jonathan is stepping out with on the faith that he has. But I'm so glad that God is gracious, that even for the New Testament, that God can give signs sometime. Any amens? Sometimes God gives us signs just to encourage us. You know, we put out a prayer and we know that we've got the Holy Spirit. You're like, God, can you just show me something? Can you send somebody my way? Has God ever showed up and sent somebody your way? Gave you a word of confirmation of what God already spoke? Maybe you received something in the mail and you open it up and it was just right on time. It was a confirmation. God sent you a sign to let you know what? I hear your prayer and I'm using you in a beautiful way. and it increased your faith. I'm telling you, this is where Jonathan is at this point, just waiting and desiring to be used of the Lord. 1 Samuel 14:11. So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistine says, look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden. Then the men of the garrisons called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, here it is, come up to us. Can you put that in the chat? Come up to us. Wherever you're sitting or standing, say, come up to us. God uses the enemy to confirm the victory. I'm telling you, I want you to hear this. God uses the enemy to confirm the victory. And God wants to do that. When you start to allow God to do a wonderful, wonderful and amazing things in your life, you're going to see what the devil has for you. You got to realize God has already turned it for your good. No matter what harm he's trying to bring your way, God has already put a victory stamp and says, you know what, the enemy, you cannot go any further than I allow. And some of you know how God is. How many times have you been in some situations where it seemed like you were down for the last count, but God showed up in a powerful way and the enemy had to go on the run? I'm telling you, there's something about the blood of Jesus, the power of God, the fulfilling of God, that call that begins to grow on the inside of us. Come up to us and we will show you something. Jonathan said to the armor bearer, this is a powerful point here. It says, come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. Here's the point. God works in mysterious ways. Any hallelujahs out there, just put hallelujah in the chat. God works in mysterious way. I'm a witness to it. I am a witness to it. I've lived long enough to realize God does not necessarily work the way we always want him to work. God will come in some strange ways. He will use strange things. The fact that he used us is mysterious. Any hallelujahs out there? The enemy give the answer that Jonathan had requested come up to us in verse 10. That we see that. I'm still amazed at how God just moves. Anybody amazed? Can you put amazed in the chat? I'm just amazed, because when we get in tune with God, when we desire God to use us for his glory, we start to see more miracles. We start to see a mysterious things. Jeremy Riddle, he penned these lyrics. He said, God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unsearchable minds of never failing skill, he treasures up his bright desire and works his sovereign will. And ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings, yes, in blessings and in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste. This is critical. Listen to this, but sweet will be the flower. And you fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings, yes, and blessings, yes, and blessings on your head. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his works in vain, for God is his own interpreter and he will make it plain. I love this part. In his own time, in his own way, in his own time, in his own way, use me, Lord. Let's sum this up in these final verses. 1 Samuel 14:13. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan. And as he came after him, his armor bearer killed them. That first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within about half an acre of the land. I'm telling you, isn't God wonderful the way he can use us in intense situations? And there was trembling in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. The garrisons and the raiders trembled, and the earth quaked, so that it was a very great trembling. Final point, when God shows up. Yes, when God shows up, I pray that you're getting this. I pray that you're desiring, Lord, use me. I want to be used. I want you to fulfill your calling, because God shows up, everything changes. When we have faith in God, as we taught earlier, nothing is impossible. Jesus spoke this in Matthew 17:20. It says, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Are there any saints out there saying, God, use me for your service, Lord, use me for your glory? Because we know with God nothing is impossible, but the Lord says something and does something that's amazing to affirm Jonathan and his armor bearer's faith, not just by giving them victory over the enemy, but I want to show you something in 1 Samuel 14:15. See, just the victory would have been enough, but God said, you know what? Faith like this needs to have a stamp on it. Faith like this needs to have a thunderclap. Are you with me? It says, and there was a trembling in the camp, in the field, and among the people. The garrison and the raiders also trembled, and the earth quaked. So it was a very great trembling. I believe God decided at that moment to see Jonathan's faith and that armor bearer to step up. And he said, you know what? I'm going with Jonathan. I believe God just began to clap his hands, and when God clapped his hands, all of a sudden the earth began to quake. It was a confirmation, an affirmation of the prayer and wanting to be used of the Lord. God wants to do, again, we said this over and over again, extraordinary things in your life. God used Jonathan, but please understand, there's so much we could talk about Jonathan, but I want to let you know there's one that's better than Jonathan. You know his name. His name is Jesus. Can you put him in the chat? But I'm so glad that the Christ was born for us. He was the one that was really submitted to the Father to show us what being used is all about. He said in John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And then he says, and this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Yes, he fulfilled this by going to the cross of Calvary, where he carried our sins and bore our griefs. But I'm telling you, even while he hung on the cross of Calvary, he gave up the ghost, cried out, it was finished. You know what? God did an earthquake with Jonathan, but there were other signs and confirmation. Matthew 27:51, that Jesus was right in the will of the God. And then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to the bottom, and the earthquake and the rocks were split. Matthew 27:52, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. I'm so glad that Son of God was taken off the cross, put in a cold grave. But there ought to be some saints say, I know what happened. 3 days later, he gets up with all power and glory for you and me, so that we could say, use me, Lord, for your service. Use me, Lord, that you may be glorified. And I encourage you, saints, God wants to use us right now in this season. In this season of turmoil, in this season of stress, God wants to use us. Just as he sent his son Jesus to walk among men, to die, to be buried, but yet be resurrected on that third day. And now he's praying for us that we be shining lights in this dark world. What's your decision going to be? Man, I get excited about how God used Jonathan and Jonathan's faith to want to be used. I get excited. I could preach it from another perspective, just the armor bearer's perspective, just what he was thinking to follow someone who showed forth faith like this. Saints, we need to step up. I want you to answer this question. What is God calling you to do? And you know what? I've asked people this question so many times, and most of the time I really get I don't know, Pastor. I really don't know. Well, I want you to, that's just not enough. I want you to pray, God, what are you calling me to do in this season and time? Do you sense the trouble that's going on in our world? Do you sense nations are falling apart? Political society is disintegrating right in front of our eyes. We've got strange weather patterns that are not just happening here in our local area. It's all over. The signs are being put forth. God is letting us know time is not long. I don't know when he's going to come back. It could be today. It could be 10 years. It could be 20 years. It could be 30 years. But we all have a limited amount of time. Remember, we started out with that memory scripture. We are the temple of God, those who were saved. Therefore, God dwells in us and wants us to use us as a corporate body. I pray that your prayer be, use me, Lord. If you don't know Christ, that's your first step, to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead and said, you will be saved. Yes, he is standing with open arms. He's actually been chasing you down. Yes, he has been loving you even when you were unlovable. He has been there to embrace you even when you turned away from him. And if he's speaking to your heart, which I believe he is right now, would you cry out to him? Would you say, God, I'm a sinner. I need you. I want a relationship with you, and I want to be used. I want to be used in a beautiful way. He'll do it for you. I just want you to pray with me, those saints that are out there. I want you to pray. And our biggest prayer is going to be, God, show us what we need to be doing in this season and time, that more souls can be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth of him. Let's pray together. Father, our prayer together is to show us, use us, Lord, in this season and time for those who don't have clarity on their calling. And it may be multiple callings within their lives. Lord, give them clarity. Lord, help them to wash the windows of their eyes and their spiritual eyes, that they can see and the light come in, that they can know, okay, God, this is the desire that you put in my heart. Give them wisdom and understanding how to walk that out as they submit themselves more and more to you through prayer and fasting and praise and worship and the fellowship of the saints. Lord, I thank you that no matter what age they are, there's some older adults that are right now and maybe they're confined to a bed and they can't move about like they used to. Lord, let them know that they even have a calling. Maybe they're supposed to be a powerful intercessor, and right there from that bed where they're laying, they can cry out to you, Father, and things can be moved and some big ways in people's lives. Lord, I thank you for intercessors, Lord. I thank you for moms, dads, uncles and cousins, grandmas that are praying, Lord, that are praying because they know that you've left them there for this season. And they're saying, use me, Lord. Lord, take our hands, take our feet. Lord, use us, our entirety of us, the body of Christ, that we may show forth who you are. Jesus, thank you for being that perfect example for us. Holy Spirit, would you guide us? In Jesus' name, amen.
You are ye, moving in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are ye, working in this place. Lord, I worship you, and I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you, Lord, I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, from me, keep a light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, I call you, Waymaker, miracle worker. From me, keep a light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, turning lives around. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. Yeah, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. Oh, I call you, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, I call you, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.